I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Dave Young. Dave is the CEO at Kodak Winning Photos, a Seattle-based global company with a robust trajectory that provides a place for photographers to grow and mentor other up-and-coming photographers. However, he introduces himself as Chief Swiss Army Knife. He started out as an analyst on Wall Street before joining the Treasury Group at a Fortune 500 company with the goal of bringing mobile data to the U.S. Dave has also developed a number of cloud patents and sold a technology company co-founded during the tech bubble. Dave holds a BA from the University of Puget Sound and a Master's of Science in Finance from Seattle University. He loves spending time with his three daughters. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
Why don't we start off by talking a little bit about your current business?
Yeah, the current business, you did a good job of teeing it up. We're launching February 7th. We have a blossoming community of photographers that is designed to provide not only inspiration for current professional photographers and amateur photographers alike, but a very interesting, very cool growth path in the space. Ultimately, we'll be rolling out mentorship opportunities, job opportunities. There'll be opportunities to monetize your images as well. It's a very, very cool community of photographers. As part of that, we also have what we call photo showcases. These are daily, weekly, monthly contests, if you will, where people can participate by uploading any image that they have digitally. It could be on their cell phone, it could be off their computer. We have a category, could be anything from we'd like to see some black and white nature photos, or it could be, hey, you know, to take a picture of how you got water today, or on your way to the market, here's what you saw. And what we're trying to do is evoke an image response from people out there who have these wonderful images on their cell phone and have their unique point of view. And we want them to feel comfortable sharing that unique point of view. And if interested, take the next step in their photography.
That's great. And is this business idea somehow connected with you trying to smash a plateau personally?
I think that it's definitely a next step for me. I had in my background, the plateaus that I have faced, and I thought about this before our interview, have really been a lot of internal struggle that I've had personally. And I think what I had always done from the time that I had graduated from college to really about 5 or 6 years ago, I was very interested in following what I just felt was this life rubric, which is you go to college, you graduate from college, you get married, you start having kids, you get a job at a large company, and you start kind of clawing your way up the corporate ladder. And I really threw my heart and soul into everything with respect to that path, thinking that the higher levels that I achieved, and that could be, you know, a raise at work, more responsibility, the happier that I would be. And that absolutely was not the case. And it took me a long time to really realize that what I really wanted to do is I wanted the freedom to run my own entity, and the freedom to make my own decisions and build my own team and have the people around me who inspire me, who support me, who help me smash whatever business plateaus that we're facing, but also help me on that personal side as well. So I would say we founded this company in 2016. It was a business colleague of mine who I had worked with in the past, who is a professional photographer and all around absolutely brilliant man. And he had this idea for a global photo competition. He was nice enough to share the idea with me, and I brought in some individuals who I had worked successfully with in the past. And really with that entrepreneurial spirit and these individuals who had been incredibly successful, both as entrepreneurs and in the business world, working for large companies, has really created this blossoming opportunity that's much larger than simply a photo contest or an image contest. We have technologies that we've developed that are truly revolutionary, that can crowdsource jury, which means judged by humans, on a massive global scale, user-generated content. So it has applications beyond just photo, just beyond just images, to brands, and allows brands and businesses to better connect with their audiences using imagery. So we're really excited about that. It's been a tremendous growth step for me personally. And I really have a lot of individuals around me that are fantastic and help me smash those plateaus.
Yeah. Well, somebody who's started off his career in the corporate world as an engineer, I can certainly relate to the trajectory that corporate life is trying to predict for people who are following that path. And the path works very well for many people. Yet, as you've described so eloquently, if you really want to run your own thing and have your own entity and have sort of be in control of your own destiny, then big corporate life is probably not going
to
work.
Yeah. I mean, to do it yourself and to really take that next step, it feels a lot like free falling out of an airplane. I mean, there's no safety net at all. I mean, you're responsible for every facet of the business. My first real success story in terms of developing cloud storage patents, again, with a friend of mine, and we did the same thing. He was working at a large tech company in the area, and I was, of course, in the mobile data space at another very large company. But we moonlighted this business, and we worked on it. We worked on the intellectual property. We worked on the proof of concept. We took it all the way through the patent process and ended up monetizing these as a foundational element for how big data gets stored in the cloud today. But we did that all while we had day jobs.
Wow.
And we didn't really need to do that. It was just this idea that, gosh, you know, I can work at this large company. I'm good at what I do. I have this ability that's been broadly recognized, and I'm having success there, but I'm still hungry. I need to do something on my own. And so that was an early step that I took in terms of facing the barriers that I had to my ultimate goals in life, which was to run my own company. I can tell you now that the individual that we did the patents with and sold the technology to a very large, a dominant cloud storage player in the marketplace, he's involved with Kodak Winning Photos. He's heading up our technology, intellectual property development and roadmap. And he's one of those individuals who he's focused on an event horizon that's 2 to 5 years out. And it's very exciting to have him on board now. And he's on board full time. And it's been great to continue working with him, and we took those early steps together. So it's nice to have the band back together.
Mm. And now, are there some key relationships that you think are important to have as you're planning to pivot from one way of spending your time to another? So for example, if you're planning to, you just described working on a business totally moonlighting while you have a day job, which is, it's got to be really stressful. I'm sure it took lots and lots of hours. At some point, people who are going through what you went through make a decision to pivot away from full-time employment, and they do the free fall without the safety net and without any kind of paycheck. And I'm wondering whether having certain kinds of key relationships in place is really critical to being able to do that successfully.
And there are entrepreneurs who are very good at motivating themselves and being understanding how they work and bringing in the right elements, whether it business relationship or personal relationship, that helps them be successful. For me, what I absolutely require, and I just know this about myself, is I have to be around people who are very intelligent, who are very smart, and who are incredibly honest with me. If they challenge, and they're free to challenge any of the decisions that I'm making, any of the direction that I think is the right thing to do. And I definitely welcome divergent thinkers in our organization and in anything that I do, because it helps me prepare for the unknown and for the uncertainty that any startup faces in the business environment. We come up with these great business plans with these wonderfully compelling ideas. And man, you get out in the marketplace and it's just like stepping in the ring, where you have a great plan and then someone punches you in the face. and then what happens? I've been very fortunate to have developed professional relationships with people who I absolutely idolize. I think that they're tremendously gifted, not only in their abilities to execute on a business plan or execute in a new technology space, but to support me on a personal side when I need that push, or when I'm not seeing the right thing, or I'm not seeing the future as we hope that it rolls out. So I think for me, it was essential to build a team. For other people who don't need that, I think that's definitely a way to go. But you should be pretty clear and fairly honest with yourself of what you require before you jump out of the window.
Mm. And right. What's an example of one of those times when you got punched in the face, and how did those relationships help you recover?
I think it has, even when I look at our entity right now and what we're doing, we're launching February 7th, but very, very soon. We're very excited about it. And we've been working on technology and building offers and doing all sorts of wonderful community building. And it's been all done behind the curtain of not having a publicly available product. And I think the earliest point where I felt tremendously challenged was taking this from something that we've all been a part of at one point in our life, which is a photo contest, and to really make it into something much larger, where we can really truly view images not as just a cool photo and this one's the best, but as the start of a conversation. And how does that conversation bring brands closer to their audience or expand their audience in the right way? And it was hard for me to really develop that, because I'm not a photographer. I'm one of those guys that I take a picture of my kids because that's what's liked on Facebook. If I took a photo of a sunset, David, or if I took a photo of a tree, like any gifted photographer would, and I put it on Facebook, I get like 3 likes. I take a selfie with my daughter, I'll get like 400 likes. And so I'm not a photographer. So I needed people who understood the art of photography and really the power of images and help me see then what the true business opportunities were on a global basis that included not simply photographers and people who think images are cool, but businesses who are looking for new and novel ways to connect with their clients.
And Dave, going back to the introduction, why are you called the Chief Swiss Army Knife?
David, we're a small company and we all wear many hats. It was part of my, one of my goals is to have titles that tell people what you really do. When I see CEO, I tend to think that, okay, you're setting direction for the company. You're able to keep your event horizon out there about 12 to 18 months. You're doing strategic stuff. You're where the buck stops. The fact of the matter in a small company is we all do many different things. And so I wanted to be the head person who does a ton of different stuff, where if the trash needs to be taken out, you know, I'll raise my hand and do that as well. And so it's something that says, hey, look, I'm dangerous on a lot of different areas. I can talk technology, I can talk marketing and business development. I'm a little bit versed in operations and some of those systems, and I have a vision for where I want the company to go. So of that, I think the Swiss Army knife captures that fairly well. And it gives someone a little infographic of how I view myself in the organization.
Mm. And do you think that some of the things that you've described about pitching in and doing anything, do you think that that's a really important kind of culture to create for an early stage company?
It's important to me because having come from a very hierarchical, successful enterprise, and then coming to a startup where we work very closely together and we tackle things as a team, we don't always get the same assignments or take an area of ownership that would fall within a certain title. So for a small, growing, aggressive company, I think it's absolutely essential. I don't need, if there are people that don't like to get their hands dirty and they have gifts in other areas, we can accommodate that as well. I think generally speaking, for people in a startup environment, it's good to be able to scrap out there, to be able to do a number of different things and to do it very well. I think what's key in a small company is for everyone to be able to articulate the value proposition of what you're doing and where you're headed. Because everyone in that company, because you're so small, is a marketer, is in sales, has to be able to articulate the vision. What's nice is that it's a small group, and I see these people every day. I see them on the weekends. So I think where we have our benefit is that we're very close, that we tackle things together. We know each other's strengths and weaknesses. And as we go forward and as we continue to grow, the understanding of what the capabilities that each person has is incredibly helpful, because we don't have to talk about it. We just know, and we can go and help someone out or take one part of a plan and work on it with someone else who's very good at implementing back-end systems. So I think that's a blessing to be a small company. And then it's hard if you just want to focus on one thing and build your career in accounting. That would be very difficult.
Right. No, it's very different. And do you think that there are certain tactics that really help the team members understand and be able to articulate the value proposition well?
What I like to do is I like to bring in outside people who have never heard of us or what we're doing. I like to bring in photographers. I like to bring in people who don't really have any appreciation for photography. And I like to put them in front of those individuals and have them explain to them what we do. The goal is for anyone, and I learned this early on with my kids. If I couldn't explain what I was doing to my kids, then I knew it was too complicated to ever really monetize out in the marketplace. And I started explaining what I was doing in cloud storage for data availability with like kids that were all under 10 years old, so they could understand what I was doing. That really helped focus us on our value propositions and where we could get these big industry players extremely interested in how we were doing things. We do the same thing today at Kodak Winning Photos. So it's a piece of our past, and it's absolutely essential. I think what is incredible, when you talk to people, you might have preconceived notions of where they're going. We want good listeners. We want people who can articulate a vision, hear and see how someone is reacting to that and adjust accordingly and do that at light speed.
Right, which is not a technical skill.
No, it's not. It's very interpersonal, almost an empathic quality that we're looking for.
Dave, how important do you think it is for a company like yours to be able to make a connection with an industry giant?
It was incredibly important for me personally, I believe for the company. We approached Kodak with this idea of what we wanted to do, and they were incredibly supportive. We're all familiar with the Kodak history. It's a history of triumph and tragedy and rebirth. And I'm fortunate enough to be participating with Kodak in what's truly the next chapter. And I know that our team is 100% motivated and 100% committed to make that last chapter incredibly successful, because for Kodak as a company today of about 5,500 employees, and they're down from 140,000, 145,000, I think at their peak in the 80s, their business has changed. That brand that they have means photography. And it's been a brand that people around the globe have true affinity for. I mean, I've not experienced this before, is to have people that you talk to around the world who really want Kodak back and big and dominant in the photography space. And so it's like you have a lot of people who are really rooting for the brand to grow back to its prior glory. I know that the team that they have in place now is working very hard to restore that, and they understand the love that people have for that brand, and they're willing to invest in the business and grow the business and partner with the right folks to make sure that they once again achieve that success that once seemed like it would go on forever. I mean, they had the guy that developed modern consumer photography who started the company, and then they had the guy who developed and invented the digital camera, which essentially ended their business. But it all happened inside of Kodak, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Do you think, actually, you know, you've touched on something really fascinating, which is characteristics of a big company, that I'm wondering how important those characteristics are if you are a small company like yours that's trying to make it in a particular niche, and having a relationship with a big company can be critical to your success. What are some of the elements that one needs to look for in that relationship in order to find a large corporation that is going to be helpful, as opposed to one that may, in fact, not be so helpful?
Yeah, I think it goes back to people, David, and the team that we work with at Kodak. Many of them have been with the company for 25, 30 years, which is unbelievable. I mean, they have seen and been through an incredible journey, an incredible ride. Like, I guess you could even call it a tumultuous 25 or 30 years. And so at first, when I heard that, I was a little bit concerned, and I went, gosh, you know, I'm dealing with lifelong big company people. And where I made a mistake, and one of my business colleagues was astute to point this out to me, is that they have been through an incredible journey. They have been through basically a startup, a rebirth, a launch, a huge enterprise. And so they're kind of startup people, the ones that are still there, even though they've been there for a long time. And many would say, gosh, you know, you haven't done anything else, you've worked at this one company, but the experience that they've gotten working there and going on the journey that they had, I think that they were uniquely suited to benefit us as a startup company. They were very, like, here's a great example. As many large companies have, they have a very well-defined product realization process, where how they take new offers in the marketplace and they go through all these different gates and approvals, and these people sign off and legal looks at it. And it can be, I think if it's light speed at a large company, that probably means something like 6 to 8 months. Now, for a startup company, we need to make decisions very quickly. And they were astute enough and frankly entrepreneurial enough to know that the processes that they had internally weren't going to be suitable for us, and they were willing to change. And so when you have a big company partnering with a small company, it's that willingness to change, frankly, on the big company's part, that to me, it means a lot. I mean, it makes me an incredibly just vocal advocate for the company and the direction that they're headed. It makes us feel like they have skin in the game as well, and they're just as committed as we are, and they truly are. They're partners in our success, and we're lucky to have them, and we feel very fortunate to have them involved.
Which says a lot to how one approaches partnership, whether one is the well-established company or the smaller, newer company.
Yeah. If you're the small new company and you're running into roadblocks with the large company, I think our natural, at least my natural instinct is I want to blow it up, and I get really frustrated, and I just go, my gosh, you know, what's happening here? I they don't understand what I'm doing. They're not flexible enough. And I just start creating these mounds of of problems and challenges that, we're going to have to overcome. And as an entrepreneur who's faced challenges, I'm mostly just listing all the problems. So I want everyone to break through. And what we have done is just kind of took a step back, took a real deep breath, and had conversations with leadership, conversations with the folks that we partner closely with. And it was an interactive dialogue. We want them to be able to do their job and to have a lot of confidence in what we're doing in the marketplace. At the same time, they want us to be very, very successful in what we're doing. So it became much more of a dialogue that then bore the fruits of a new process that we can all work with and that's beneficial to both of our businesses.
Yeah, that's very insightful. Very insightful. So Dave, who do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
You know, there are business figures who I have come in contact with in Seattle who who've been tremendously successful. And these are names that everyone knows. They're like Bill Gates, like Jeff Bezos, like Howard Schultz. And they've done a tremendous job of smashing plateaus and keeping their lives incredibly grounded in that entrepreneurial zeal that had fueled them early on and continues to fuel them today. I think what I would say, though, and this is interesting, and it kind of goes to our one of our target demographics, is my oldest daughter is a high school student. And she's very good at school and has taken some college programs. And she is a classic millennial in the sense that social responsibility is incredibly important to her. The world that she lives in and the world that she is a part of, she is very into social justice. And it's one thing to talk about it, and it's another thing to do something. And what she did in the last year is she put together a soccer camp. We have a program in Washington that requires students to donate time for community service. And she built a program where kids that are involved in soccer can donate their time as coaches for this soccer camp and these series of soccer camps around the area. She started this herself, where all proceeds get donated to youth charities in the area. And she's having tremendous early success doing this. And what I thought was so special about that is I thought there's maybe something in my gene pool that said you kind of follow the rubric, you follow the steps, you go to school, you work hard, you get good grades, you go to college, you graduate, you take your next step, you keep going. And she's broken out of that mold at 17. So I'm a fan now of evolution. I'm a fan now of the millennial demographic who just tackles problems differently than I did and that my generation did. And I'm so impressed by watching someone at that age really take that next step and go out and do everything herself. And I mean, it comes from establishing the business to contracting with people who provide the fields and facilities, you know, building the website, managing the website, buying appropriate insurance. And I'm just watching my daughter do this. And I'm absolutely amazed and impressed and think that she would be a great guest on your show as well.
Well, we can talk about that. It sounds very remarkable, and I'm sure really heartwarming to watch as a father.
It's life in a microcosm, and to see that at a young age is cool. I'm obviously enormously proud of what she's done, but I'm as proud as I am, I'm absolutely amazed. I'm blown away. I had mentioned some titans of the local economy and what they have done. And I've been fortunate to have had conversations with them and to have interacted with them. And I think what you know, and they're fairly broadly understood for how they tackle problems and what they do. What's so amazing to me is how driven that they still are with, you know, Bill Gates in his pursuit of philanthropy, you know, Jeff Bezos with internet, the ability to get anything off the internet at any time. And he's also an investor in space programs and that have views of not only space travel and interplanetary travel, but colonization. And they stay incredibly engaged, but they keep that vision and that event horizon out well beyond their lives. And that's something that at some point I would like to take that next step. So I'm not just thinking about what's happening in the next 12 to 18 months. And maybe if I'm really, really strategic in my vision, can go out to 3 years. But these guys are thinking, you know, 20 years, 200 years, 500 years. And that is something that's truly inspirational.
It certainly is. Well, Dave, what can, you know, speaking of the horizon, what can we look forward to in the near future from you? I know you're about to launch. By the time this episode actually goes live, you will have launched. What's coming up for you in the near future?
Well, I think as it comes to building Kodak Winning Photos into a global player in the image space, we are 100% focused on that. So by the time that this airs, we will be well off our version 1.0 release, and we're going to have more features and more community features for interaction with other photographers and growth in the art of photography, perhaps even jobs in the photography space. But we're also gonna work with brands, and you're gonna see Kodak Winning Photos partnering with very large, well-known brands and helping them engage with their users, engage with their audience in a very powerful way. The images that will be a part of these relationships with businesses truly, you know, they truly allow a brand to see their customer's unique point of view. And that's something that has really never been done at scale before. Many of these companies have run photo contests and have tried to get user-generated content. And those stories are quite, it's a story of inundation where they said, hey, submit a photo of you using my product. And they got so much stuff, it was hard to go through. They did find some really wonderful nuggets, but it's not a recurring practice. We've solved that problem completely for business. We can cull down user-generated content. And our first offering is images. And as we develop, it'll expand to other user-generated content as well. And we can go through it in a very quick pace and really highlight the best, most compelling images that will serve as the narrative that the brand wants to get out there in the marketplace. So those are the things you have to look forward to from Kodak Winning Photos. And we are absolutely committed to listening to our audience, listening to people who have suggestions for what they would like to see. That's something else that we implement as part of our operations, as part of how we do business, is we're always listening. We're listening to what our users say. We're listening to what our partners say. We would listen to any good ideas that are out there. So don't be shy. Please send them our way.
So speaking of listening, how can our listeners find out more about you?
You can find out more about me. We have a page on our Kodak Winning Photos that talks a little bit about me. And I believe contact information is up there. You know, if there are ideas, again, I'm very interested in ideas. And if there's something that I can provide, an anecdote or some of my own personal experience, you know, I am happy to do that. So I look at my experience so far to date has been one of success. And I know that it's been a difficult journey, but really being able to smash the plateau, so to speak, that I was creating, that I owned, that I caused, that I built, was really the key to this next step. And we're a year into that journey, and we're going to see where it takes us, and we're expecting great success.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Thanks so much for coming on Smashing the Plateau today and sharing your story and also describing some of the ups and downs and tips you have to order you offered our audience about how they can smash the plateau. My guest today has been Dave Young, the CEO of Winning Photos, Kodak Winning Photos. Thanks again, Dave, for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions. where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.